substance is called propolis. It's a resinous product of plant resins that the bees are collecting, and they combine that with salivary secretions and beeswax, and they line their hives with it. So, yeah, we were interested in looking at and its medicinal properties, specifically looking at the anti-inflammatory, antioxidant and wound healing properties of the stingless bee propolis. And I found that crude extracts of the propolis did possess these properties, and then I was able to whittle it down into a couple of compounds of interest, and we found that they exerted antioxidant, anti-inflammatory and some selected wound healing properties.
So there's about three or four different benefits this propolis may contain. Do you separate them for different medical problems, such as one component may work for anti-inflammatories, another for arthritis? How does it work?
Yeah, so propolis is quite complex. So there's been reports that it can contain up to 180 different compounds, and about 300 compounds have been identified in propolis to date. So it was quite an onerous task. So the first few experiments we did were using crude extracts that had a lot of compounds in them. And then when we found the extracts that were interesting, we kind of broke them down further and further. So we kind of whittled it down to four compounds of interest. Some of those compounds were more active antioxidants, some were more active anti-inflammatory agents, and then there was one compound in particular that had very interesting effects on cells that might be implicated in wound healing.
Can you go further into what those effects may be?
So I spent a bit of time last year at Cardiff University in the UK, and I took my samples over there, and I did a lot of lab work over there using cell cultures. So all my work that I've done to date has been in labs and cell culture. And I found that this one of my extracts in particular had quite a number of promising effects on the proliferation of certain cell types that are related to dermal wound healing. So like our keratinocytes, which are our skin cells. So applying that extract made those cells proliferate quicker. So that, you know, if we can then translate that into some sort of animal model or wound or human model, we might see that that might accelerate wound healing.
How exactly would you apply the propolis to wounds?
I don't know. I guess we haven't really got that far to think about it. You can buy propolis formulations now as an ointment, but that would be using the European honeybee propolis, and we don't really know what's in it. You know, the labels, a lot of those labels just say propolis, so you don't know what's in it, you don't know what compounds are in it, so yeah.
How is this different from medicinal honey already on the market, like the Manuka honey that we see?
So Manuka honey, so that's referring to honey, which is the collection of pollen from bees. So we were more interested in the propolis, which is the lining of the hive. So it's a little bit different. There has been some studies, or some people have suggested that Australian stingless bee honey might have some medicinal properties of it, because it sits in pots constructed from this propolis. So it might be the fact that compounds from either the honey or the propolis are kind of leaching into one another, but I didn't look at honey, so that would probably be another interesting avenue to look down for research.
As you've touched on, this kind of research has been done with the European honeybees. You've just mentioned there are ointments on the shelves. How do the benefits from those bees compare with the Australian stingless bee?
They are comparable. So a lot of the work on European propolis has looked at wound healing properties similar to what I've looked at, and the results are comparable. So the defining factor from my project is that we know that this extract and we know that this propolis is chemically unique. So it might be different compounds that are having these effects.
Were the initial results what you were expecting?
I don't think we really had any idea of what to expect. We definitely set out with a question and a hypothesis, but we didn't know what would happen. We didn't really know which way it would go. So, you know, we kept an open mind, and there's still a lot of work to go. Like I said, all of my work to date has been sort of in vitro. So, but I mean, the results that I've got have kind of allowed for the possibility of kind of taking this further and taking it into animal models or human trials. So.
And when you're speaking of those animal and human trials, when will that begin? That's the next step. When does it all start?
It's the next step. It starts when, and we can secure some grant money to do it. So at the moment, that's the stalemate, I suppose. you know, we're ready to go. We're just finalising compound identification as we speak. So as soon as that's done, it'd be great if we could kind of secure some grant funding to further the research.